Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I'm your host, Miss Kev on stage, and I am joined by my husband and co-host,
NAACP Image Award nominated Kev on stage.
Forever and always.
Forever and always.
Forever and always. I have something I actually wanted to say to tell you privately, but because your words of affirmation, I will say it to you publicly. But before I do that, I want to introduce our very special guest, and that is none other than the popular Instagrammable, super just photogenic couple. Every picture you guys take, I'm just like, how are you this beautiful together? And that is none other than Cameron and Vicky Logan.
Whoa, not Vicky Yogi. We don't rock with that Vicky no more.
I'm so mad at Vicky because her version of it's my favorite version,
but she went and magged it up,
and then she had to go and mag it up.
She went over there and magged it up.
My favorite version of that song.
What's the song?
Yes, she said,
What is Vicky Yohe's song?
It's a cover.
I don't even remember it.
I don't know.
Y'all don't remember Vicky Yohe?
Y'all don't remember
I remember
Vicky
her,
Yohe?
But I don't remember. Is, I don't, but I don't trying to think of the song you're talking about.
Vicky had one big smash.
She had one because of who you are.
Because of who you are. Yes. Audition franchise black voter.
Basically,
because of who you are, I will call the police on your black skin. And I'm
your
racist.
That was kind of nice, though.
Because of who you are.
Come on.
I am a Karen.
Listen, Karen. But with that little breakdown part when she goes in.
Oh, with her racist skin, she went in.
Oh my God.
Martha ain't getting nothing. You leave Munizzi out of it. I looked at Martha.
Martha invited to the cookout.
She invited to the cookout, but she cool. Y'all, we got to stop inviting people. Y'all be around. We always let them in the cookout. Then they do something. You're like, oh, that's why you invited.
Martha can come
no
to my
more
cookout.
Invitations cool. to the cookout. Cool. Y'all could just be cool associated.
Wait, but Martha ain't did nothing.
She,
I like Martha.
She didn't come to the cookout. Let the cookout be for us. Help revamp some of her stuff. Yeah, she invited.
I think
she come to y'all cookout. She ain't come to mine.
She come my cookout.
She come my cookout.
What I'd be so mad at is the white people that are literally in real life upset about a fake cookout.
Right.
They really will be. There's this girl that we're friends on Facebook, and she was on TikTok. She'd be trolling white people like professionally. This is what she does. And so they were like, she literally was like, that's why y'all not invited to the cookout. And so she did a screenshot of someone who responded to her and was like, I'm going to be telling your job. I'm going to send this to your job that you are not inviting us to the cookout. And she was like,
you know, it's not a real cookout.
I'm going to be sending this to your job?
Yes. But
you're invited to the hypothetical cookout?
Exactly. But this is the gag. She was like, who are you going to send it to? My mama, I don't work.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if he said, why folks love to tell on people?
That's it. I'm telling your boss.
Listen.
On a fake cookout.
It's a fake cookout. Who are you going to tell?
The hypothetical cookout.
The hypothetical cookout. And y'all can't come.
And y'all
I want to come.
Yeah,
I'm calling the cops.
In real life, we're not going because it doesn't exist.
There is no cookout.
Hello, people. It does not
exist. Especially in COVID. Ain't no cookout.
Especially in that bid.
Especially.
You know they got variants.
Right. Okay, but honestly, people have been trying to get us together on this podcast for actually quite a while. Like there have been literal campaigns for this collaboration to happen. So I'm super, super excited that you guys are joining us. But before we dive into the episode, I really quickly want to say that beyond being like so, so proud of you, one of the things that you said, actually, as I said this, maybe it's not affirming to you, maybe it's affirming to me, but I'm going to keep going. As I played it forward, I was like, I don't know if you're going to feel this as much as I wanted you to in the beginning.
Talk about
everything is we.
Yeah, everything is we.
That's your podcast.
But I wanted to say that while you were giving your speech at the NAACP Image Nominated Award dinner, that you talked about me being the first sacrifice. And I know that there have been like public appreciation, so to speak, of whatever I've given in terms of that framework, the groundwork. Mm-hmm. But to hear it said in that way, I felt like it was the first time I heard you say it.
Really?
Yes. Well, I'm getting emotional.
Let, Feel that feeling? You show post that video in HD of me crying on your YouTube page. I said, oh, this is a clear.
Y'all posted Brennan's, and I was like, I'm waiting for
it. I know it was. I'm talking about they was in my tear ducts. Yeah, like, you crying, Kev?
I paid for a good videographer. Oh, that's the one I'm posting.
Jesus. I said, well, you crack baby. You doing the dance and everything.
But in real life, it was really the first time. And I wanted you to know that I appreciate you that acknowledgement.
Because, I ain't no Malcolm to my Marie.
Yeah, listen. But I thought it was really sweet. And I thought it was, I don't know, it felt like the first time I heard you say it. And so it meant something a little bit deeper.
I like to be deeper. I like it when it's deeper.
The moment's over.
I like it to be deep.
All right.
Or
so
you feel it in the top of your cervix.
No. It wasn't the first time.
No. I know what you're
saying. Okay. I just want to make sure people are clear that I'm not saying it was the first time that he said
it hit different as they say.
Different that time.
As they say,
the
kids say
it felt
like
the first time. Yeah. Okay. So.
And I was crying like a little therapized person.
I personally thought it was dope.
Did you cry live though, Cam? Did you cry for 20 minutes and have people make a meme out of you? That's what I sacrificed, Cam. Now they done put my face on Best Cry Ever, and it's on Twitter. I can't take it back.
I'm just not as famous. I cry all the time.
Not a lot of people see it, but you know, it happens.
They done memeized me, Cam and Victorious.
Listen, it was beautiful though, bro. Like, honestly, like,
it really was.
Like, it touched me. Like, you started talking, I was like, dang, like, man.
Felt that.
I started telling her how much I love her.
That's what Keon said. Keon said, he said, you know what, you let me do those shows and I never
thought. That's so sweet.
Dude.
Before, let's start
over. It's going to be a whole lot of preaching.
Oh, girl. I feel it in the room. Y'all in.
It's in the room.
Y'all in the vein.
The
atmosphere is set.
Y'all thought I was false.
Me and Angel done played Easter songs. We got to combat that Lil Nas X.
Hello?
The little demon.
If y'all don't believe in Jesus, you got to get the tickets to that comedy show or you ain't going to prove it.
First of all, this is no better than when you receive a chain letter and it's like, if you love the Lord, you must send this to 10 right. more people.
Or you're going
to
die tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm never be like, I love you, God.
I'm going to hell if it's according
this
to
child, I've been there multiple times over.
I didn't see him and did not send it to nobody else after that. It stopped
with
me.
He knows my heart.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break and tell y'all about our first sponsor of the Love Hour podcast, and then we'll get to the Logan's love story.
And we're here to tell you about Skillshare. You guys know that we love, first of all, shout out to Skillshare.
Shout.
They are a consistent sponsor of the podcast, and they are sponsors of the Miss Kev on Stage YouTube page. And they asked for an extension. I'm like, who, for me? Y'all do?
Yeah.
Well, girl, go on and do it.
Y'all put me on the ballot and voted.
Y'all put my name on the ballot and voted. I'm excited. But really, thank you and shout out to them. You guys know that we use Skillshare all of the time. I have used them for blogging. We've used them for photography. We've used them to make cookies. I've used them for quite literally everything. They are a platform that is specifically for creatives, and they have tons and tons of classes for you to look up and learn different aspects of your walk in your creative journey. Kevin, have you taken any classes on there?
I've taken guitar, I've taken music mixing, I've taken photography to get like my boy Joshua Gowns, I've taken graphic design and storytelling.
Oh, I think I've actually taken a graphic design course on there as well. There's nothing better than getting better. Accomplishing growth is extremely satisfying. Do something today that you couldn't do yesterday with classes specifically designed for real life. Skillshare is extremely affordable. In fact, with an annual subscription, it is less than $10 per month. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
And get a free trial of premium membership. That's right. Premium membership at skillshare.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
All right. One more time, we're big. If you are unfamiliar with Victoria and Cameron, which, by the way, for a long time, I thought Victoria's name was Victorious. I was like convinced that your name was Victorious because if you know Christian people, those are names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a name. It's quite possible.
I do have a Christian name though. I mean, my first name is normal, but my middle name is Christian. So I had no choice.
Oh, yeah.
They gave me no option at that
point. No, there's none. There's
you
none.
You are a Christian.
You're yes, you shall so, be. Okay.
Shall be.
So how about you guys? Tell us a little bit about your love story, how you guys met, all of those things. But you guys actually have a really intriguing, interesting story. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, yes. Well, we are in an arranged, we were in an arranged marriage. It worked out, but we were arranged. We were so yeah, interesting story. My dad and his dad were preacher friends. They're both preachers. So we're both PKs, mm-hmm. you know, grew up in church. And my dad and his dad were friends. And his dad met me at my dad's 40th birthday party.
Yep.
I was 17 at the time. And his dad was just, I guess, blown away how sharp my dad came back home
from the birthday party. Obviously, we live in the Chicagoland area. They're in the Texas area.
Dallas.
I don't want to put them on blast, but yeah. They're in the Texas area. And so my dad came back and was like, damn. Man, she was sharp.
Oh my God.
You know, not sharp.
Yeah, sharp.
Sharp.
She was and sharp. I was like,
Shaw. So immediately I was like, yeah, all
right. Right.
Like, I've okay. never heard a woman be described as sharp.
I know, me either. It is.
I mean,
that's just, you know, when your parents, you know, in their 60s, that's just how they talk. But she was sharp, Doc. She was sharp.
She was sharp, Doc.
It's also a very respectable way for an older man to be like, yo, she was really pretty without feeling like pervy.
Yeah, you don't want to be.
Yeah, you don't want to be pervy.
Chris's dad from Married at First Sight. You just want to be sharp is safe.
Yeah, sharp is safe.
Very safe.
Yes.
Very
yeah.
safe.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, he came back and he was, you know, bragging and like, this went on for a while.
Yeah, it went on for like a year.
And then I started like, you know, gradually like listening to my parents when it came to dating, because, you know, if you know black mamas, ain't nobody good for their son.
Facts.
And so, you know, I had dated somebody and I was like, yeah, mom. And she was like, no.
She wasn't sharp.
No, she wasn't sharp.
Not at all. I'm not even going to use the words that she used. Oh. But no. And, yep. And my mom hadn't even met Vicky. But like my mom was like, I just love her.
I had never met her either. I didn't even know they knew about me.
Okay.
But apparently my mom had shown a picture of me, of my senior, like my senior picture to like y'all, I guess you and her mom.
I hadn't seen no picture of you.
Oh. She said she showed some pictures. Point. I'm like, why would you show that?
They was working on their own plots.
Long story short, my mom was like, you should add him on Facebook. And I was like, okay. I didn't want to because he's a preacher's kid. And I'm like, definitely don't want to date no preacher's kid. Not trying to be a pastor's wife. That does not sound like a good idea.
Definitely wasn't trying to date her either.
No. We were not trying to date each other at all. I added him on Facebook though. And we was cool. We became friends.
We were
was
like,
not feeling each other though. We was friends, but I was like, he's lame. I'm not
tell people this all the time.
Not lame.
Yeah,
we weren't like physically attracted to each other.
No,
really.
He wore glasses back then.
Absolutely. I was a little nerd.
He was a little. I mean,
I still have swag though. Let's be clear.
Yeah, hey, let the record reflect, Cam.
Yeah, let's be clear.
I'm gonna let you think that, but we were not attracted to each other.
So we genuinely like how we started our relationship. Was like we were just genuinely friends.
Yeah, we was just cool.
And like she was the first girl that I had talked to, like where we would have like very broad conversations about stuff other than, oh, you so fine.
Yeah.
Oh, you so cute. Like little stupid stuff. And like we talked about everything from like animals to like world views to
animals.
Know,
we talk about animals?
Yeah, I mean, we talk, you know, you like animals.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah,
he was the first friend that I ever had that was like a preacher's kid, like a guy friend that was a preacher's kid and like still was going to church and actually like living right. So I was like, oh, that's so interesting. You're not like trying to be not a preacher's kid.
Right.
So I think that we resonated on that level too. And then that's when he started catching feelings, you know, he started feeling me. So
wait, who started catching feelings first?
I definitely did.
Cam did.
I definitely did.
Because I was about to go to college at that point. I was like fresh meat. So I was like, I'm finna try to like date. Because I wasn't allowed to date before I turned 18. And then once I turned 18, my parents was like, all right, you can date now. And I'm like, oh, it's going down. But it didn't because he caught me right before.
Yeah, I had to.
I
had to bring her on back.
Right before I start wilding, he was like, nah. I'm like, oh, okay, sure, whatever.
But yeah, I definitely caught feelings first. I'm not ashamed.
So were y'all not a physically attracted, or was more personality? Because we were talking about this from Married at First Sight.
Right.
Jacob and Haley, they can't. Go ahead.
Oh no! Yeah, the Jacob and Haley situation. It wasn't that bad. No, it's not that I thought he was ugly. It's just I wasn't at that time. I liked more thuggish looking dudes.
She liked
the. Oh, you was into that thuggish, ruggish bone.
She likes dark skin dudes.
I did. I like dudes that was, you know, getting into some stuff. Like, cause I
why do church girls so always want to be like, I'll show you, mom and dad. Know. I want a drug dealer.
There are it's always I know not. A lot of church girls that love themselves a good reformed thug.
Or curly thug.
We're gonna get into that.
There was a post on Instagram that said that like we really want like a sanctified thug. Like
that's what like, I am. Because I got the blicky.
No, you're not a thug.
Girl, I kill people.
You're not though. I think there is something about that specifically attracts women who grew up very, very churchy that mm-hmm. just love the idea of someone that's like rebellious and kind of colors outside of the lines and is like mm-hmm. the exact opposite of like whatever you grew up with. Mm. Yeah.
What I needed, the opposite of what I needed for sure. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. It was a bad phase.
Interesting.
It didn't work out though, because we never ended up having anything in common anyway. If I was talking to them, they'd had nothing in common with me. So it's like, what are you talking about?
Because then when he busts you upside your head,
hello,
you mad now.
Hello.
Hello. At that point, ain't nobody buzz me upside my head.
Listen, but that's facts.
Vicky, you don't strike me as a bailout type of I'll put money on your books type of wife.
No. That wouldn't have worked. I do that though.
No, not with that kind of like. Not in that kind of lifestyle.
Nah, definitely
like
not.
Like if I got into something, she would definitely bail me out.
Oh yeah,
for sure. For sure. But you have a good heart.
Yeah, that's the difference. We're you can be extremely loyal and then also have a line at foolishness.
That's true.
Yeah,
a little streak.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be there for you, but like also.
I think that's another thing I ended up really liking about Cam, because as I got to know him, he's not like very like.
I'm not no punk.
No, he's not like lame, like a lame Christian dude. Like, you know how some no dudes punk. Be like, oh, all I do is read my Bible. All I do is go to church. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not that like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, he's real cool. Like, he's very cool and chill. Like,
I'm not a punk.
Cam, I never thought you were, bro.
I appreciate that.
I know you got hand, bro. I respect you, bro.
Cam feel like he got to defend his masculinity. Listen,
I ain't no punk. I just want to say that again at the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
I ain't no punk.
Listen, don't play me.
Don't play me. It could be whatever.
No, I'm here for the clarity.
I feel like there's a fine line. So I have a younger sister. She's 6 years younger than me. And she's also like very saved. I love
she
that.
She is very saved.
And she was talking about how like the younger Christian dudes, like they legit, like it's either they're not saved or like they mad corny. And she's like, don't nobody want to talk to you because you texted me in the morning talking about the Songs of Solomon. Like, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like that's right. Lame. And I've never been that guy.
And like, he wasn't. Yeah. I like that about that you.
I'm not about to be sending you like Christian jokes. Like, now I'm a preach about everything.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like,
you're gonna hoop.
No, but I'm not corny like that. Like,
nah. And you ain't no punk, Cam.
I ain't listen, no
problem. I'm here for it. But you know what? Can we land on this point really quickly? Because I do think, Melissa, stop shaking this table now. Oh.
Ooh, she's shaking the table.
Shake it.
I do think that there is a cultural phenomenon. I don't know the right word, so I went big. About young people that are saved and feel the need to look, dress, and act like the church mothers and the church deacons, mm-hmm. and they lose out on their youth.
Yeah.
Like, how old are you guys?
I'm 30.
I'll be 30 in January.
Okay, so. So just say correct. How old are you? I am 29, but the way that I answer it is I say that, it's like when people ask me my height, which height do you want? I have my height, I have my heel height, and I have the height I want to be. Yeah. So.
Nobody's so asking you the height you want to be.
You some five, people seven. Maybe correct.
That's just not true though.
If you the ask, height I feel in my spirit.
Correct.
This
so
is
like
how I really feel.
Exactly. So if you that you think that there's just one clear answer, there's not. There could be multiple.
No.
I definitely remember being, and you guys can tell me if you guys went through this, but I remember being, Kevin and I got married at 21.
21 and 20.
20, I was 20. Wow. And I remember wearing button-ups, shirts down to here, skirts down to my ankles. And though, do you remember, Lord have mercy, do you remember those Steve Madden platform shoes that had the mesh on the top? I don't know. It's not even mesh. It's a thicker material than mesh on the top, but they were like mule.
The stretchy.
Yes, the stretchy one.
The flip-flop. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Those are the Save Girl threes.
I look.
You got the Praise Dance fours on.
I look back on those times. Yes, I look back on those times and I literally feel sorry for that person, not only in terms of like I was dressing and just no idea about.
Sorry for 2004.
I do. I feel sorry for 2004. I really do. Not just for that, but also my mentality that I associated and tied so much of what it means to be saved and salvation and loving the Lord to an outward appearance.
Mm.
Right.
What are your thoughts? Tell me more.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up Kojic, so I couldn't wear pants for a little while. Hated that because I'm a tomboy, so I like to wear pants. So you know, I know how that was growing up, and I definitely think that there is like this, I guess, expectation for us to look a certain way. I get questions a lot, even now. I get questions a lot about like, do I feel pressure because my husband's a pastor, do I feel pressure for him being a pastor that I have to wear certain things or look a certain way because I'm on stage. I mean, I sing at church and stuff, and I, you know, on my Instagram, I dress how I want to dress. Like, I wear sweatpants, I wear my little outfits when we go out on dates. I wear my little tight dress and stuff, and people be like, I guess some people think that's I'm not supposed to do that. I don't really know.
Yeah,
but
because they ask the same question, like,
yeah, do people at your church, and our church is non-denominational, so we don't have those kind of like, you know, I guess restrictions where I have to look a certain way. But I can understand, I can understand how people, you know, they get so caught up in that it becomes a part of them. Like, I have to look this way because otherwise people won't see me as a Christian. But I feel like if you just live right.
Obviously there's a fine line, like,
of course, yeah,
like,
there's,
you know, you can't,
I'm not gonna be out here in a thong on my Instagram because I know people from my church follow me, so I wouldn't post that, you know what I'm saying? But like, I'm also not going to not be myself at the same time. And I think it's 2021. If the Lord is really judging my whole Christian life on whether or not I wear pants, then I don't know if I'm gonna make it. I do understand how people can get so caught up in that, and to me it's sad. It's a little sad because then you're basing, you know, your faith on outward appearance,
the traditions of men.
Yeah, and then it doesn't become real to you when you're just looking at it like, I have to look a certain way and act a certain way. Like, okay, but do you actually love the Lord for real? Or are you mm-hmm. right? Because that's what is expected of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I also, my personality type, I like to do things that ruffle people's feathers.
Yeah. She's, yeah,
so literally. If people tell me I have to look a certain way, I'm going to look the opposite.
She's literally, she will literally tell me.
So
she will literally post like, a poll in her stories, and whatever has like the no, like if she's like, what y'all think about this outfit, it's like, hate it, she's gonna wear it.
Yeah, because I love my individuality and my originality, you know, and I like to do things differently. So if everybody likes this, then I'm gonna do what everybody doesn't like and make it work for me.
I get that.
So, you know,
but we're taking a break to tell you about KiwiCo. KiwiCo is a subscription service where you, yes, I said you, because you may enjoy it just as much as your child, will get a new crate full of fun science and art projects every single month. They have tons of activities to do. I showed you guys our box on the last episode. That was a ton of fun. I believe it was like a robot. It was like a robot situation. That was just a lot of fun. We did it with my niece and my sons, and we had a really great time doing it. Cultivate your child's natural creativity and curiosity with hands-on projects. Every single month, they'll explore new worlds and rediscover familiar ones, even without leaving home. They have all different age groups. They have everything within the world of STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And if you listen to the Love Hour on a consistent basis, you know that Kevin and I can most definitely use all the help we can get when it comes to math. With KiwiCo, there's something for every kid or kid at heart. Every single month, get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code LOVEHOUR at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at Kiwi, KiwiCo.com. Promo code LOVEHOUR. We're all at home, although we're slightly going back outside, but you may as well do something not only fun, but educational with your child while you have the time to do it. Because as the world opens back up and you're going to be out and about and life will resume some sense of normalcy, you may not have the time to spend with your kids as you do now. So you may as well do something, again, fun and educational with KiwiCo. All you're going to do, get your 30% off your free month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code Love Hour. And okay, I'm also going to tell you about Flex. Okay, we're finna go on vacation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I use an app that tracks my period. And my app is a hater and has been telling me that on my vacation, my period is soon to come.
God dang it.
Yeah, child.
Push the vacation back.
Every time.
Butt stuff.
Everything.
It took a turn. So the app.
Correct. So thank you. We're going to come.
The app going to track you.
Yeah.
It's going to be a handy type of vacation.
Okay. So anyway, the beautiful thing about menstrual cups is that it allows you to live your life as seamlessly as possible, even when you are on your period.
Your mother nature really be tripping. Like, girl, you know I'm going to be in the island. I don't want to be dealing with this.
You really don't.
At home for a whole quarantine.
But it doesn't matter if you're on vacation or if you just at home going to work. Like, it's just a nuisance. It's just something you don't want to be. All of us wish that you could receive an email instead. Hey, girl, you ain't pregnant.
I wish you could move push it like your life. Your period is next week. Nah, man, I don't want to do the
How can I opt out of this? Because I'm going to be out of town. Click here. Postpone.
Imagine if your period came in like you need to update your computer. Like, remind me later. Correct. I don't want to do it today.
It would be fantastic. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So Flex is here to make your period as smooth and as seamless as possible. They have a really comfortable silicone, like velvety soft material for a very comfortable fit. They do have a pulley string on the bottom part of the cup, so it's easy to remove, which I know that freaks people out a lot. Is like, once it's in there, girl, how am I getting it out? The pulley makes it extremely comfortable to take out. Once you put it in there and she's secure, it ain't going nowhere. You ain't going to have no leaks. You ain't going to have no accidents. You can sneeze, girl. You can sneeze.
You can sneeze and it's going to stay up in there?
Ladies, you can sneeze.
That sneeze going to get you every time.
And you don't got to worry about no accident.
You be like, hut you. Oh, man, them drawers is messed up.
Correct.
But with that Flex, it's going to be like Spider-Man. It'd be like,
you can sneeze, you can laugh.
That Flex, like,
she be in there, hold strong. Hey. I'm in here, girl.
Hold!
Information.
Hold!
At attention.
Cannons to the left and cannons to the right.
So say goodbye to leaks, mess, and stress, and say hello to healthier periods for people and the planet with Flex. Go to flexfit.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
And use code Love Hour for 20% off Flex Disc Starter Kits or 10% off your first Flex Cup plus free U.S. shipping. That's code Love Hour.
Love Hour.
At Flex. That's F-L-E-X. fits, FITS.com/lovehour.
Love hour.
All right.
We love to see it. I just would like to say that I am a cup advocate. Okay. I have a whole YouTube. I have like 3 videos on YouTube about cups. Okay. So
the cups is where it's at.
They have
the
changed, cups are my where it's at. Changed my life. Listen,
thank you.
Time, I have it with me. So just in case, nothing stops.
Hello.
Okay. Anyways, let's go.
The party don't stop is what she said. Okay. Yeah, party like the Holy Ghost. Party, Holy Ghost. I'm with this. I love it.
I just want to go back to old Christians to be like that. That never slapped. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because Holy Ghost party,
don't stop.
It never slapped.
It absolutely did.
It did not.
It absolutely did.
I was in there like
it absolutely did.
No, I used to be like, I'm sure other parties don't stop.
No,
I think I'm sure there's other
the
parties.
The only that party like that doesn't stop is the Holy Ghost party. Period.
We got to party.
So anyway, listen.
Also, okay, one more thing. I have a bad relationship with that because of my mom.
That's because your mom was still sated in 2020.
My mom was literally will take the mic during a high time in the Lord and be like, "Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost. It's over. It's over."
That she will.
Oh, that's stop, you have stop. Trauma. There's
yeah,
trauma.
No,
there.
That she
that
will.
Is awesome.
Oh, it's there. Not though, Cam. It's not awesome when it's your mom up there like, "Hi, hold on, kids. You like that DMX, do you? Well, how about this? Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost."
No, that's true.
Bark for this. Urgh, Holy Ghost.
All right.
Yeah.
So you died a little bit inside, Cam.
Yeah, I definitely did. So.
Wow. So listen, one of the things actually that got me actually to follow Vicky on Instagram to begin with is I was like, first of all, this girl is safe. Her husband's a pastor. Vicky will have her belly out. She will be in a bodycon dress. And I was just like, I am completely and totally here for a young person that is married and is fully embracing the femininity of their body without shame.
Yeah.
Again,
right there.
Yeah.
I think
he,
it's so
he be taking the pictures.
Hello. I'm here for it because I feel like, again, when I think back to when I was 26, 27, 28 years old, I've told this story before, but the one thing that was kind of my pivotal moment is that I remember Kevin asking me, I don't even know if you remember this.
Of course I do.
Okay, that means you don't. So there was this one time Kevin asked me to go out on a date. And again, I was probably 26 years old or so. And I'm going through my closet and I had 2 types of clothing. I had church clothes and I had work clothes. And I worked at a bank. So like bank work clothes.
And you had them Save Girl 3s.
I had the Save Girl 3s because those were, I worked at a bank and I sometimes, I was an assistant manager. So I sat at a desk, but I would back up my tellers. Like if we were really busy or if they were on lunch or whatever. So if I'm running back and forth across the bank, like I needed comfortable shoes. So those like Church Girl 3s were like the best shoes in real life. I was the queen of kitten heels. You hear me?
Oh,
and not like
Liz.
The cute, quick kitten heels that people might wear today. No, the sling back.
The Monica, don't take it personal.
Yes, yes.
You still got a pair.
When Monica was sitting on that curb.
Yes. Just looking a mess. You hear me?
He was like this.
Yeah. Just
with the white stockings.
Yes, dear black women, do not wear white stockings. Throw them in the garbage.
They were not made for.
They're
black
not
women.
Made for us. And let me tell you, this is how they get you, black women. Listen to
you
me.
You gotta find a picture of those shoes and put on Instagram. And be like, I'm so glad
I didn't even take a lot of pictures back.
No, no,
then
I'm talking about a picture of that shoe.
Oh, okay, got
and
it.
Got I'm delivered from these.
Okay.
And then I can comment, save girl.
This is the other thing. Black women, listen to me. If you wear a white shirt because you're ushering, so that also means you have on a black dress. That does not mean, listen to me, that you have to wear white stockings and then put on black shoes because we think white, black. No, no, no.
No doubt about it.
Do not do it. Throw the white stockings away. They're not made for us. Buy you some black sheer stockings or get you some nude stockings. Listen to me. Nude is not a color. Nude is based on your skin tone.
Nude is something you send your husband.
It's not a color.
Not a color. It is a
not a
picture.
Color, people.
You send your husband when he's
pink,
on the road.
It's not Eurocentric. It's the Eurocentric that's being centered.
It's not one size.
It's also something
all.
You send your husband when he's on the road to remind him what that thing looked like.
People, don't you do it. Throw them white stockings away.
And
take your little daughter. that's 7 years old and you got her in the white, throw them away. Them the Bible says to train up a child.
White patent
you are
leather?
Training her wrong.
You lace are training with her folded wrong. Under or folded over. I can see my sister. I can see a clear picture of my sister.
Well, listen, the white ruffle socks you could do. Just don't do the stockings.
Not the stockings. Not all the way up.
No, not all the way
loose.
Up. Don't do it. Okay, so my question is, Vicky, how did you get that comfortable?
And when did you walk away from the Lord?
When did I walk away?
Because people definitely think that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
1,000%.
And Vicky, I can only imagine there has, and maybe there's not. Maybe I'm assuming and projecting my stuff onto you and not on that. But it would seem to me that if you grew up church, Kojic specifically, and you're kind of indoctrinated into that philosophy, there has to be a reckoning where you're like, nah, I'm not on that. I'm gonna do what I want to do. And what I like to do is this. I'm gonna wear what I want to wear. And what I like to wear is this. And sometimes it's this and sometimes it's that. It's whatever I decide I want to put on and do it in a freedom that comes without condemnation. This is my condemnation dance. Without the condemnation.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, even though I did grow up Kojic, well, I didn't grow up Kojic for my entire like childhood. I was Kojic for the beginning, like my first 10 years of my life, I was Kojic. And then my dad was a musician at that point. So he was like kind of going to different churches. So I was Baptist for a little bit. And then he was non-denominational for a little bit. And then he went back Kojic for a little bit. So I've been to all different types of churches. So I've seen people not dressed like Kojic people. And then I've seen Kojic people. So I also, my mom always let me dress how I wanted when I went to school and stuff. So that I had experience with both.
Got it. You had balance.
Yeah. So I wore pants to school. It just didn't make sense to me why I could wear pants to school and not wear them to church. I don't know. The inconsistency was like weird to me. So as I got older, in high school, I did have to wear a skirt because I was in private school and I had to wear the plaid skirt with the knee highs. Yeah. So then by the time I was done with high school, I'm like, listen, I done been stifled. My fashion creativity has been crushed. I am wearing what I want, and that is that on that. And I just never looked back at that point. I was like, I'm doing what I want. I'm an adult. I'm gonna wear what I want.
And but I feel like you never do it in a tacky way though.
No,
like,
and you're not a disrespectful way either. Yeah, like
and,
I would
and
never
not a disrespectful way. And you don't like, how can I put like you? This isn't like your lifestyle of like you only wear like bodycon dresses and belly out.
Oh, sure.
And you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I don't do it. I don't do it on purpose to be rebellious.
But if you feel like rocking it, you will.
But I feel like if I feel like rocking it, I dress how I feel. So I express myself with my clothing. That's how I like to express myself.
She's a very fashion.
I'm very expressive. And I've always loved clothes like that. So I'm always going to, you know, explore my options, but I'm not going to do it in a disrespectful way. Absolutely not. Like I'm not, even to this day, if I go to a Kojic church and I know that they don't wear pants and that's something that they don't do, I'm not going to wear pants. Like absolutely. To be respectful. I just feel like that's, I mean, I still have that in me. I'm not going to be disrespectful at all. I'm not going to go around Cam's dad and have on like, you know, what I would be wearing at home in front of him. Like, I'm not going to have on like nothing super disrespectful.
Like, she wasn't sharp today, Cam. She wasn't sharp.
Yeah. No.
She was out of order.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. If I have my, you know, decollete showing or something, like I'm not going to do that in front of him. Definitely not. Like, and his mom would check me. She'd be like, pull that up. Pull my shirt all the way to my neck. I already know what it is. I'm not ever going to be disrespectful, but at the same time, I'm not going to disrespect myself by holding my own self back because of people's expectations. Definitely not going to do that.
Right. Okay. So then next question is then, Cam, did you have any reconciliation for that? And I asked this question because when Kevin and I were dating and he grew up PAW, I very similarly to you, while I did grow up churchy, I used to grow up like this because the first 15 years of my life, I was in a military church, and it's very non-denominational. So then I got into like the Kojic world. And so I wore pants to church. I wore, previously in Hawaii when we were younger, I've worn pants to school. And then when we moved and I joined a Kojic church, I had to wear skirts, but even at school, I wore pants. So it was never like, and my mom didn't like browbeat us that way. So I was at track practice one day and I had on like my track uniform going to Bible study. And Kev was like, this woman is not safe.
She didn't change at all. She didn't put no long skirt over the track pants. She just didn't love God.
So my question is for Cam, did you have any like, I don't know, was there any like reconciliation that you had to do in terms of her dress?
No, but Cam grew up non-denominational his whole life.
They weren't saved like that
the whole time. Yeah. He's had a very wonderful experience in church. Like his church experience has been beautiful. I mean, they've never tried to force him into anything.
The only thing I live with my mom, and my mom is like a big shell person.
Oh,
like,
she loves the
like,
shell.
You gotta the shell. Like you even gotta, like even the, this party, like your chest can't. That's too much.
What's a shell?
It's like an undershirt that you wear underneath a low cut shirt.
So you don't see no cleavage. Like, you don't even see.
Think of it like a slip, but you wear it under your shirt.
It's a cami, like a cami. It's a cami. Yeah,
it usually has like the lace.
It's got the lace.
I always used to have the lace at the top.
Yeah.
You never seen
so
that?
So you know what it is. Yes.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, the lace, you know, the lace.
No, I mean, but yeah, that would have been my only thing. Like, hey, like.
Make sure you have on a shell.
You know, cover your chest up. Just, yeah. That's like, but that would be it.
But I don't have much chest to work with anyway. So that never really happens.
I mean, sure.
There's not much there.
But still, I would just because I know the.
But yeah, I got you.
So yeah, but no.
No, but we did dress a little saved when we was dating though, just to be safe. There was one day we went on, we looked like we were going to.
We looked like Michelle and
we Brock. Looked very presidential. I look back on that, I'm like, why did we dress that? Yeah, we were going on a date.
I don't even know.
Y'all might have to stop by Revival right after. You gotta be ready to do both.
I had on the most saved dress.
Yeah, no,
thank you. I really don't understand why that's even a thing, to be honest. It drives me absolutely 100% insane to think about being a young person and dressing like that. Like, it drives me crazy. And it's something that we've talked about even on this podcast, is that, and maybe you guys might really have like a completely different experience, which is actually refreshing, of how even the way you dress and the way you think of yourself, how it affects you sexually in your marriage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, again, my own like personal reckoning when I realized that, oh my God, like, I don't know what it means to be sexy. I don't know what it means to feel sexy in this body. And I realized part of that does have to do with how you dress this body. Mm-hmm. And if you're wearing button up shirts and, you know, button down to your ankles and, or this is not an ankle, this is your wrist, and you're wearing trousers or slacks or whatever, like literally, and I say slacks, but I use the word trousers on purpose because whatever image conjured in your mind when I said trousers, that's what I was wearing to work.
Trousers.
I was wearing the dark gray. There's very specific pair of pants that I remember. They were dark, like a charcoal gray color. And they had the, the pleats with the fly in the thing and the flush pockets on the backside. They're not real pockets. It's just that little slit.
The slit. Fake pocket. Don't do nothing for the booty.
Nothing.
It was covering it up.
And I just don't understand why I ever thought, number one, why I ever would put that on my body to begin with. But second of all, it only makes sense that I was then only struggling to like find this inner sex pot because I was so like not only uncomfortable, and maybe that's not quite the right word, but I was unfamiliar is probably the word.
Yeah.
So unfamiliar in this body because I felt shamed of it because of, to be honest, feel like I'm accidentally masturbate. Like, oh my God, I can't do that because what if I touch myself wrong and I enjoy it? Oh no, is that is that masturbation? Did I just sin?
You know, cleaning that cat, and you like, was that Jesus?
Was that Jesus?
Lord, I feel bad. I didn't mean to. I had to clean it. But a lot of it is because we were like trained up in tradition and you know, ritual, and it was just like everybody was doing that. This is brought to you by Ritual, this section of the podcast. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it's something we take every day. Ritual is clean, vegan-friendly multivitamins formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use. Listen, guys. Melissa, you are a Ritualista. Is that part of their brand marketing? Ritualista. Melissa, get up. So, she have her shower, brush her teeth, make her breakfast, have her little ritual, start her day off right. She did a whole little brand deal. Josh, she shot it. I mean, Warren cup of Joe or tea in her instance. And she makes sure you take care of that little body, you know, because ritual is designed with your life stage in mind. It's available for women's, for men's, and for teens like Melissa and I have too. Ritual multivitamins are scientifically developed to help support different life stages. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping. Always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And you don't have. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, guess what they'll do, Liz?
What will they do, Kev?
They'll refund your first order. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get green key nutrients without the BS.
Hey, no BS.
Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/lovehour to start your ritual today. Once again, get 10% off if you're a Love Hour listener for their first 3 months by visiting ritual.com/lovehour. Get your ritual and start your ritual today. Yeah. Today, I don't feel like doing anything.
I also take ritual. Serving highly the recommend. Lord.
Oh, Vicky also takes ritual.
You take highly ritual, Vicky?
I definitely do. I got my order like last week.
Oh, bless God.
I mean, I didn't.
Bless that wonderful name. Did y'all sing that, Cam, at your non-denominational church? Bless that wonderful name.
We had the church mothers. They would.
You didn't jump in. Vicky jumped in because that was that coach.
Cam knows all the hymns now. He knows all the hymns.
Oh, bless that wonderful name.
I know hymns because we had this lady that was at our church. She was like the coldest singer in the Midwest, and she was like, baby, you gotta learn your hymns.
You got to learn them. 7-Eleven song.
We consider that a hymn. Bless that wonderful name, a hymn.
I mean, it's like it's in the hymn. It's a devotional type song. Hymn. I mean, it's a staple.
It's just standard. It's standard issue praise and worship.
That was before praise and worship.
What else would we call those songs?
It's like one step up from a Negro spiritual.
Yes, it's Negro spiritual 2.0.
Yeah,
we call them devotion songs.
Devotion songs.
It was always the
praise and worship, but it wasn't the praise team. If that makes sense.
Right.
It was before.
It always kicked off praise and worship.
Yeah, but it wasn't a praise. This
do all the songs together.
Oh, bless that wonderful name.
It's like the DJ set before the concert.
It's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
That's it.
Okay.
Jesus. The DJ set. Bless that wonderful name of
actually,
Jesus.
Actually, that's where you start.
No other name I know. Oh, healing in the name. I got to do that part.
I thought you were going to do power.
I was, but I got to
power in the name. Okay.
I'm a weave me smooth.
Okay, go.
Healing in that name, the name of Jesus. No other name. I know.
Power.
We need your power. There we go. Power to walk right. Power. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Ain't nobody. Come on, y'all. Do me like Jesus. He's my friend. He's my friend.
He's my friend.
He's my friend.
He's my friend.
Sent me my stimmy. He is my friend. Oh, what a mighty God.
We serve.
Come on, if you don't know it.
I didn't know
it. I didn't bring my tambourine.
We serve.
Yes.
Oh, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Power, Lord. You can go back and forth.
You can go back and forth.
Congregational songs is what we
call
them.
They are the same
congregational songs.
All the same beat, all the same key.
7 hours, same beat. And the musicians don't have to do anything different.
No,
call and response. You do a hot 45-minute set.
Absolutely.
Literally, you can go to Victory Is Mine.
Yes!
Victory is mine. You can go there.
Victory today is mine.
I told Satan.
Lil Nas.
Get them shoes behind. Victory today is mine. Yes. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a fellowship, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arm.
Okay.
Now you can go to the solo.
I was about to say,
pass me not, oh,
We didn't sing that one like this, though. Y'all did?
This is making me hungry. You know, this was the only one that makes you hungry when you were getting baptized. Don't get him started, because he's going to be here all day.
Do not pass me by.
Hey. Who are you calling, Sam and Vicky? Sam, who are you calling? I'm calling your savior. Oh, savior.
Come on.
We were 4 years old singing like we were 75. Humble, no age.
But you didn't end it right, Kev. That's not how you end it. You ended on yes.
That's a Kojic thing. Let the church say yes.
That's a tired song when you're tired.
When the musicians are tired.
Yes. That's cymbals.
I used to play drums too, so I know all
these.
Yes, Lord.
It always came in off beat.
You don't end the last yes. You stop halfway. Yes, Lord. Yeah.
I always hate that. As a drummer, when things are not in time,
I
smell the mints.
The pump it up.
Peppermints. I smell. Yep. Martin Luther King fans. I'm seeing.
That's a lot of sway. When that yes on here.
AC not working.
Funeral home fans.
Yep.
Funeral home fans.
I smell like old carpet and mothballs.
And it's some chicken somewhere in the kitchen. I smell it too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. You guys have actually been going to church like inside the building pretty consistently. We ain't been.
LA is closed.
We ain't been in a long time.
We're at 25% capacity. We have to register. We have to wear masks, you know, all that stuff. We have
Y'all have protocols. Old school church or y'all new school church?
A little both.
Define.
You know, old school. Like, we haven't sung one of these songs at church.
No, we don't sing those songs.
No, them songs is down by the, they're going down by the wayside.
They need to come back, though. Yeah.
Cam might throw one in if he's doing praise and worship. He might throw one in.
I love a good hymn, though.
He'll throw one in at the end of our CCM.
All the older
leaders. Are y'all singing Maverick City music?
Yeah.
Oh, good old Maverick City.
Wait, what's that?
Our church, it's funny, because I'm not the music director. I'm not the MD. Our MD, he handles all the music. But, like, I'll send suggestions. So we can sing like a Todd Delaney or Maverick City music song and then sing John P. Key like right after.
That's how it needs to be done.
We do both.
That's balance.
Yeah.
Balance, yes.
Good vibe.
Because I love me a what's the dude, Intentional?
Oh, you do Travis Green.
God, I love me a good Travis Green song.
Man, Intentional goes hard.
We wore all of Travis Green songs.
Man, that The Hill as an album straight through. Flames.
But it'll have you snotting on some parts of it.
Oh yeah.
Press play.
It will.
Yeah, I don't like that. Absolutely. I don't be liking to be snotting all the time. And Intentional do that to me every time.
That song used to put JoJo in a good mood.
You finna play it?
I want to know the one that Travis man, this whole album is slappers only.
It's a press play. Absolutely.
It's a press play album. There's one though. This is the one that get me crying.
Made Away.
You already know, Cam.
Absolutely.
That's everybody's jam.
Woo! When they get to, first of all, Travis, this song was 10 minutes after 10 minutes after 10 minutes. You don't even have to be sinning.
Don't know how, but you did it every time.
Listen, I could go live on my Instagram right now, sing this, everybody's crying.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
For sure. You did it.
And then what's the end? I don't know why, but you did it.
Don't know why, but I'm grateful.
But I'm grateful.
Don't know why.
Come on.
Yes, girl.
Every time.
Let's just skip to the part where they get ham.
When he said, "Don't know why, but I'm child."
Because I know the exact really don't know why.
The exact time stamp.
I was in the vein.
Y'all thought I was false. Y'all thought I was false.
But I was in.
No one in all.
Wait. Shush.
Only because you met. Because you thought it was going to end.
There's
3 minutes left.
There is.
Yes.
Slip over the tape.
Oh, we're what?
Standing here.
Because why, y'all? Why, though? Let's switch it up.
Because you move.
Come on.
Yeah! I don't know what she got to answer.
It's the pause, too. It's the repeat.
Oh, because then you start thinking about your life. Like, what did he do with my life?
When you look back over your life.
When I look back over my life. What has he done?
I can truly say
that
I've been blessed.
I'm about to run around.
Come on, Cam.
I got a testimony.
Stay there, Cam.
Come on.
You caused walls to fall. I wasn't going to get the draws. But you caused walls to fall. That ain't what we're talking about? Are you talking about them walls?
You take that turning.
Okay. What do you call Shane? See, the drummer's just, you know the drum, Cam. He
when
right
that
here.
Drum the, comes in, that's when you feel it in your heart.
Yep. When the doctor said, don't listen.
Yes!
Don't get me started.
Giants fall!
Come on.
Giants fall!
Gotta reach all the way up.
Giants Everybody becomes a praise fall. Dancer on this part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Travis knew he was in the vein.
So good.
He felt it. He knew it. You know what he was
Hello?
Doing?
Yep.
I can't.
I want him to get
it.
To it.
I can't stop it. Once you're here, you can't turn this off.
You're there.
You can't.
You're there.
You There's 2 minutes going. Left. What am I? I'm supposed to stop and praise the God?
No, you can't.
You're there.
I can't stop, Cam. Now. You wasn't supposed to get the job. They stood in your way. But God is saying, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Not Dijon. Strongholds are breaking. Them generational curse. They said you were supposed to be an alcoholic because your dad was an alcoholic. But I'm telling you right now that strongholds are breaking. You are a generation changer. You are a chain breaker.
Yeah.
He's a mind regulator. Wyatt up.
Oh my God.
Now you know what? Now Travis, he don't do nothing else. He gonna remind you that his baby almost passed away.
Yes.
Yeah. 15 times in his album. Young. What happened?
When he fell,
I was 4 years old. I about
my
fell.
My son is breathing.
Now.
My son is breathing.
When?
Now.
When the doctor said no.
Come on, Cam.
The doctor said no.
He said not yet.
Who said it, Cam?
He said yes.
What did the doctor say, Cam?
The doctor said no.
What did God say, though? No. He said what?
He said not yet.
Yeah.
Come on.
They pronounced me dead.
Yeah. When they pronounced me dead.
Huh?
This praise death is the worst.
I'm alive.
He's up.
Miracles.
Woo. My.
That's it.
Woo. You be in that church, Big Musty.
Listen.
Big Musty.
Listen.
Woo.
That's crazy.
Travis fell out that window, and if he hadn't, the album wouldn't have slapped.
Hello?
It wouldn't have. He wouldn't have fell four floors.
He fell four floors.
When I fell four floors. Oh my God.
Because it's like this, but it's not. I don't know.
It is an absolute. He bit his tongue when he fell on four floors. His tongue was out. And you know, when you fall off your bike and you click that tongue, he bit his tongue when he fell.
His tonsils and his trachea was messed up.
Yeah, because and it was just like, he bit that tongue.
But we love you, Trav. If you
listen, I love Trav.
I love Travis Green.
Chandler Moore grew up with Trav.
Y'all,
he was on the road.
He wrote a lot of songs on the album.
Yeah, Chandler Moore. Listen, he was tutelaged under that Travis. We was in a pool in the mega church.
That's a word right there. See, when you allow yourself to sit under somebody that has some great oil. Time, God will advance you and propel you into another season and elevate you to have you singing on platforms at Elevation.
Elevation. Help with the verdicts.
He will have you singing at Elevation.
Stephen Furtick,
after you've been elevated, then God will transform you to have you singing at
Transformation.
Yes, sir.
Ah, there you go.
Now you went down with the Furtick, but God got the final verdict.
That's it.
They might have convicted you, but God works on an appeal.
Yes.
Amen. If you appeal to the Lord, he appeals your sin. Yeah,
it's too quiet.
Because God, watch this, Cam. God, watch this. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. I'm finna close. Amen. Your local court might think they can decide your fate.
Uh-huh.
But God is Supreme Court.
Come on. Oh.
He sits high.
Uh-huh.
And looks low.
Uh-huh.
They thought they had your fate decided.
Yeah.
But when they got to the Supreme Court.
First of all, that's a word for real.
It was overruled.
That's a word for real. Hey, Kim.
The mic turned around.
Hey, it was.
In that vein.
Y'all thought it was false. Y'all thought it was false. Y'all thought it was false.
Oh, but I was in.
The Bay.
I'm gonna start me a little electronic church.
Look, you know you're not.
Oh yeah, I am. I'm gonna be First Lady Lissa.
No, I won't.
You wear them Save Girl Threes to remind these people.
Speaking of which, Rebecca got the shoe. Let me show y'all.
My homie Rebecca.
Yes.
Big backs.
But not Becky though. But not,
not Becky.
She don't like that.
These.
Put it close.
Oh, them was it. Them was it.
There
you know,
was
they came back. They came back.
Yeah, they are. They should burn.
They came back like a year ago. They were selling them at Steve Madden. I'm not even playing.
Steve
Madden was in a boardroom like, we are killing in the church community with these.
The worst part about these, though, is that they also had a pair that wasn't open toe. It was completely closed off. Those were the pairs that I had as well. I had those.
They're
yes.
Like platform
because I didn't care about my life, so I wasn't getting pedicures.
Ooh. Ooh. I tell y'all, Lissa was saved.
I didn't
see her shoulder until our wedding night. I said, oh, they're going shoulder.
It's part of the reason I wear my shoulders out in every picture as much as possible.
Come on.
They was confined for so many years.
They was confined. Listen, they just want to breathe a little bit. They just want to see the light of day.
I'm about to tweet the Shave Girl Threes.
Yes. Okay. Anything else? Because we didn't.
Man, y'all, listen, y'all don't know. Vicky and Cam came over to the
Melissa,
house.
Melissa, you never.
Wait.
I didn't finish, did I?
You didn't finish your thought, but we did come over to the house.
Go ahead.
I was just saying the reason we is just chopping it up, you know, and this was a podcast episode, if you could say that. Cam and Vicky came over to the house and we kicked it tough.
We ate dinner, Gabby
we
cooked.
Ate dinner and Gabby we chopped around. It up tough.
Tough. Left sleepy.
Peter came.
Left real sleepy.
We left real sleepy.
Oh, listen, like I stayed midnight. Up the whole time.
It was up to like midnight. We got there like 5.
Kev had a couple big yawns. I thought we was gonna lose them.
Had what?
Sometimes
big yawns. You had a couple.
Oh, listen, y'all listen. I stayed up for y'all.
Hey, we appreciate it. I appreciate
heavy sleep.
Don't take it personal, like the songwriter said.
No, hey,
it's just one of them days.
She the same way.
Cause yeah,
listen, she will go to sleep in a room full of people.
I sure will.
That's Kevin.
And they'd be like, yep, that's Vicky. We know. She. One thing about Vicky, she gonna sleep.
I'm gonna sleep.
Okay, well, I know I didn't finish my thought. They were asking for a part two. Maybe we will.
Absolutely.
But tell us, what do you guys talk about on your podcast? Because you guys have started a podcast.
Everything is We, yes. Well, I was going to say, to go back to your point, we have an episode on sex.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
It's our most viewed one so far. Where we talked about sex before marriage because we was
that's
not,
another thing
we would not always say.
I hate this word, but taboo Christian community.
Say it one more time, Cam.
We talked about the thing that's taboo in the Christian community, which is the purity movement and
abstaining
versus being a virgin.
Yes, we talked about
y'all went down and fornicated.
We talked about it. So
well, we talked
if you
about
haven't
it.
Checked it out, go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, we talked about that.
You know?
Yeah. Because a lot of people consider virginity to just be the sex.
P and the G.
If you're not pure, I mean, if you're doing all the other stuff, then what you're really
butt
doing.
Stuff, handies.
Hand stuff,
punching,
watching stuff.
Watching stuff, licking things
licking
that
stuff,
ain't a lollipop.
Putting stuff in your mouth.
You don't open
your mouth.
You don't say fruit of what lips? What lips are you talking? Yeah.
It's some other stuff going on too that folks ain't addressing.
Yeah,
so we talked about that, and it's
and we also talked about amazing, the transition into marriage and what it's like, you know, learning how to be vulnerable in that way with your spouse to make your sex life great,
right?
Despite the, you know, you shouldn't have sex before marriage.
Yeah, you got to overcome that.
Yeah, I have to overcome that.
You gotta overcome that.
And really quickly, we can end on this, but really, really quickly, I have a podcast episode that I'm working on with someone that'll be a guest, and I'm going to talk about the myths, the broken promises of the purity movement.
That's it. The broken promises of the purity movement.
Of the purity movement. And one of those specifically is this idea that you save yourself for marriage because when you get married, you're going to have the best sex of your entire life. You won't be used and abused because you've given yourself to every and everybody beforehand. You have the best sex of your life. But the reason why it's a broken promise is because no one ever preps you for what to expect. They're too busy telling you not to. Mm-hmm. Yes. They're not prepping you for what to do when.
And then you get
actually say, I do.
Whack sex.
Yes.
And you're like, I saved my whole life for this whackness.
Yeah, because and I feel like I feel this. I be trying my best not to put, you know, these various people on, but I feel like all of our parents who are in Christendom and Christianity, like they want to protect us so much
that they don't
from even having sex before marriage that they don't explain how stuff works. Like the birds and the bees would be like, well, you know, birds. This what like they don't really break it down. Like,
yeah,
can you make it simple for me to understand this? Because the more you tell me no, 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 and the more I keep seeing this girl and she, you know, sitting next to me and she twerking on me and she wearing this stuff, like I'm gonna want to tap something.
Yeah.
And if I, you know what I'm saying? Like if I don't know what to do, have any practical knowledge, because sometimes we can make the gospel so mystifying.
Yes.
That's spooky Jesus.
Spooky Jesus.
Like even like misquoting, even if you look upon a woman, you've already committed like
that
stuff, like that be messing us up.
Yeah.
And it's not interpreted back, right. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, now you have a group of kids who like they're addicted to sex and pornography at like 5 because you just give them their phone. And so they'd already experienced stuff that you ain't ever talked to them about. And now you want me as a youth pastor to counsel your children on all of this sexual stuff.
You ain't talked about it.
Because you haven't told them the stuff that you did so that you can help.
You was out there throwing that thing back and not in a prayer circle.
Exactly. We are so, and this is the problem. And this, again, why it's a broken promise is we believe, or, and I don't want to say it's like an explicit belief. I think it's something that's more of a subconscious level where if I'm talking about it, I must be encouraging or enticing you to do it.
Yeah. Right.
And so we look at anything in terms of even just education, the education of your body, the education of a man's body, if you're a woman, and vice versa, what sex is, how it works, how to ensure that you're responsible and understand how your body works so you can get off when it's the time. All of those things we believe.
Get off.
Suddenly, well, you know what I'm trying to say. The point is, Andrew,
we're saying you reached the promised land.
Correct. Okay. That's it. The point is we're so afraid to have even those conversations that when people are you get into this marriage that people are putting on a pedestal, you want to get married, let's get married, you want to have a spouse, da 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 da, and then you in here dying quietly because you're unhappy sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And how many marriages are sitting in pews with one or more partners dissatisfied because they're not getting what they wanted sexually, or they feel disillusioned because now I got this ring on my finger and I'm supposed to have a great time in the bedroom and I'm trying to figure out where my clitoris is.
You can't find that clit. You rang the door. I can't ring the doorbell. I'm trying to knock and the door ain't open. You don't know how to flick that clit. Flick that clit. Relax.
We had no anatomy conversations.
You didn't know what that was till you went to wash and you felt a little something. You like, hey, what's that? This a new soap?
And I feel like it's not that it has to be the church's job to go that into detail, but like have a real conversation.
A healthy conversation.
Healthy dialogue where people feel safe to ask questions.
Yeah.
Well, I think Melissa and I talked about, oh my bad. I cut you off, Cam.
No, I was done. That was it.
Okay. What happened to us is the church and our parents worked as one, at least in our lives. So what our parents didn't say, they was like, well, just say it through church and then take that as that. But you didn't give us both sides of the coin. You just gave us, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And then now you're married. Okay, now you can do it. Do what? I only know what not to do. I don't know what to do. So I think that's kind of where it became, the church's word became synonymous with, you know, it was the overall authority. Because a lot of times our parents were just like, you know, what they said in Bible study. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that I do agree that they don't, the church, big, you know, big doesn't C. have to, doesn't have to go that deep. I do agree. A lot of it is our like parents' responsibility. Most of it actually is. But the other thing, though, is I do believe that we have allowed the world to own the narrative of what sex is.
Yeah.
And then so we're playing against their playbook instead of saying, OK, God designed this. So let's teach it from that perspective instead of always trying to defend
fight the world
instead of always trying to fight the world. They own the narrative and we're just trying to don't do that. Don't do that. No, no, no. Just tell your story.
Just tell your story.
Yep. It's like that should have been us first. But
and that's what I'm saying. Why have we given over the power of this narrative to the world if God designed it first? Exactly. Like, I don't.
For real. And God gave you the peen, the clitoris. He gave you all the sensation. He what you think he gave you all them pleasure principles in that clitoris?
It has a purpose. Absolutely. It all has a purpose. Absolutely.
Yeah. I and think, it ain't I just for recreation. Procreation.
I think what's happening now is that you have younger leaders who did grow up in the church and they have a healthy desire to express these things within their platforms and their pulpits now. And it's like, yeah, I wasn't taught this. So I'm going to break this down to, you know, if you're not a millennial, I'm sorry, but like the millennial generation, like this is how we process information.
Yeah.
Like you got to be real with us. You can't like, oh yeah, don't let her touch your bush. No, what is a bush?
Please explain that.
And plus people are waxed now. So, so now what?
Exactly.
Ain't no bush.
Bush is out.
There's stuff that I feel like the young ladies didn't know about maintaining their areas down. You know what I'm saying? Like just a whole bunch of stuff.
A whole bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah. So
I 100% concur. And look forward to that episode. I have like 3 or 4 points that are the broken promises of the purity movement. That sounds fire. And that was only one of them.
Well, somebody in the Patreon asked, did men get that same feeling of shame from the purity movement? I can tell you absolutely not. Not for me, at least. I was like, no, nope. I didn't feel no shame.
What were you going to say, Vicky?
That's a big problem as well. But,
wait, what was it? Do men get the same shame?
Do men have that shame, that same shame of like, this is what I can't do when I get married? Like, no. Like or feeling like you can't express yourself in that way.
Nope.
Nope.
I think
we were sitting up in the same services, but we was hearing totally different messages.
Yes. And I think it wasn't directed at us. It's because sex is used at, again, going back to my own personal example, we are the ones being used.
Yeah.
And so you don't have it, woman, you're the one laying down with this person, laying, you got your legs open to this person. You're the one feeling like used. So you go into this relationship used, and that type of narrative is not the same for men because they're the one taking the virginity.
Yep.
So you don't even get your women are labeled the hoe, women are labeled used.
And we're
women,
the conqueror.
And they're the conquerors.
We are conquerors.
And so that's
so sad.
It's misogyny that is the framework for this whole ordeal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's not fair either.
Yeah,
it's not fair. It's not right and it's not fair.
But it's okay.
I think it's both. I don't know how much time we got left, but I think it goes both ways. I'm one of those people like I'm gonna hold both parties accountable. Like, okay, yeah, what you did was wrong, but bro, you fouled too. Like I'm very bro, you fouled too. You know what I'm saying? Because women, I feel like they get it enough from the world that oftentimes it can seem like men just get away scot-free. And like, I'm definitely like, no, like, bro, you're bogus.
Yeah, you're trifling.
You know, like you can't you're do that. Trifling. You know what I'm saying? Even when I believe this is one of the topics, like toxic faith.
Yeah.
It's like people will like twist like various Christian views and values to make it their own. And it's like, no, that's bro, not. You're foul.
Like you can't take the Bible and use
why
it
are you
as
doing
weapon.
That? That's you're a terrible person because you just manipulated
the Bible.
You literally manipulated scripture.
You're a terrible person
to have this woman.
Don't get me started on Chris and Paige. Don't get
me
started.
Like
don't
be all up under you, and now and then on the other end, it's like we've kind of pacified women in this sense, where it's like, you got to follow him wherever he go and you got to, and it's like loyalty to a flaw. And that's not loyalty. Like that's foolishness.
Yeah.
Because now you have an individual who is clearly hurt and has clearly dealt with hurt. And she's allowing that hurt to continue because she's listening to this idiot, boo
because she got
to
put up
say
with
stuff, and all it takes for him is to just whisper one little sweet thing, and now you just he's still stupid.
No, you're joking, Vicky, and I'm still frustrated. As an adult, when's the last time you did?
That's
nobody
so childish.
Does that. Nobody does that.
It's so childish. It's so
like,
childish.
How old are we here? And that's the thing. Like, I feel like both parties,
you have to be accountable. Yes.
Have to be held accountable. She has been taught in a terrible way, and then you know, even when she talked to the mama the first time, she was like, "Whoa." Well, what did you do?
Exactly. That no.
She sure did.
Like, don't.
Joe did.
I want to.
That's part of it too. Is that? Oh my God! I have so many thoughts on this episode I'm working on, but we're talking about it here, so we're gonna talk about it a little bit, and then we can close out. That it's the idea that men will be boys, and therefore, but men will be boys. Uh huh. Mm. Okay. Mm. And right. And women then have the responsibility of growing you up.
Mm-mm. Definitely not. I'm not your mama.
And
honey.
That's how it works. Even when you think about the responsibility of don't get raped.
Yeah.
No.
As opposed to don't rape.
Exactly. Boys will be boys. Men will be boys. So women, you have to take it upon yourselves not to tempt them to rape you.
Yeah, don't wear this. Don't look like that. Don't say
that's,
this.
That's all
boys is low-key boys will rape.
Boy, yes. It is an excuse for boys or men to misbehave and act childish and do whatever they want to do, whether it's respectful or disrespectful. And then the ownership of you of what you're doing, your actions now falls on me.
Absolutely.
Because we're the mature ones.
Mm-hmm. And you should know. Well, you know, if you do that, this is what's going to happen.
Exactly.
But what if I knew not to do that? Exactly. We were just talking to our kids about consent for another time. We were talking about the dude from YouTube, white kid, David Dobrik.
Mm-hmm.
The girl in this situation saying she had felt away. And then they had got her drunk or she was drinking and she couldn't make it. So we talking to our kids again. If you or the girl you're with is not sober and of clear mind, or because in this case, she was saying that the culture around mm-hmm. these group of people made her feel pressured. You also you should not be having sex. If she feels like she can't do something or she can't say no because of the pressure.
Yeah.
That was a new one mm-hmm. that we had to, you know, so I'm not mm-hmm. telling my, I'm not, I have sons. I don't have daughters. I'm telling my sons, this is consent. This is what absolutely. Consent looks like. This is what it sounds like. If a girl or you are not in this scenario, then it's impossible to consent. Because you might, I think a lot of men were not taught. If you're, we were honestly, this is the truth, taught, get a couple drinks in her so she can loosen up, mm-hmm. right? Loosening up means I cannot make the clear decisions that I would make under certain circumstances. So right. we tell our boys, really, I prefer if you're not having sex with someone you're not in a committed relationship with, because the less you know a person, the more likely you are to misinterpret signals.
Right.
If you don't know a person that well, and it's your first interaction or first of three interactions, and you're just setting yourself up to be in a bad position.
Absolutely.
So how about you don't drink or smoke or be around people like that? And if you don't hear a clear yes, she's not into it, exciting, welcoming, calling for, you know what I'm saying?
Enthusiastically
asking for this and under protection, then how about you don't do it?
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I don't know, you know, how, I'm not trying to age y'all or whatever, but like the show 13 Reasons.
Yeah. 13 Reasons Why on Netflix.
I believe that was one of the most monumental like Netflix series that has happened for the church, because it gave parents an inside look at what really happens in these high schools, like as these kids are growing up. And it may be to certain different levels of degrees and extent based on culture and race and things of that sort. But at a certain degree, 95% of young people have experienced stuff just like that happened in that show. Yep. And it's like, they have their own community where they don't talk to their parents and stuff about like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you, you know what I'm saying? I grew up differently because when text messaging first came out, like you could actually read the text messages on the phone bill.
Yeah.
So my dad was like, hey bro,
I see what you're talking about.
I see what you've been talking about.
I don't also, even remember that.
Me neither.
Also, if
my
you
dad read my text message
raising the phone bill up, texting, I'm gonna beat your arm, I'm gonna beat you, I'm gonna rip your arms off and beat you with them. You know, like just like stuff like that. It's like, okay. Yeah. So that's different. Now statement. you can't read your kids' text messages on
the phone. Nah, they're gone. They're them kids is good. They're texting on Google Docs and erasing the docs.
A million texts every day. So
yeah.
No parents gonna. So now you have a group of kids and a generation of people who have a totally different like secret life outside of the way you know them when you see them at church on Sunday and Wednesday, or when you see them when they get home from school. So it's like, yeah, you have to teach your sons and your daughters like these real life scenarios, because the world is crazy.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a little tangent. I agree.
That's all right. And it needed to be said. And I'll say more. I have to add more to it before I take it back.
You say it wrong every time, but you circle around to it. You circle around to it, though.
Danny Rose don't mess it up.
She say it right every time.
And her little twang helps.
It does.
I'll add more to it before I take
there
it back.
There you go.
I had to sit up.
All right. So Cam and Vicky, please, one more time, tell us about your podcast, where they can find it, and then your Instagram handles.
Yes. Okay. So let's go down the list. Instagram at Victorious, like the word Victorious. I am Victorious. Logan, Cameron J. Logan. Those are Instagrams.
Regularly spelled Cameron, not the ghetto Cameron.
What? What's the ghetto? Okay. We're not even going to go there. Cameron J. Logan. And then our podcast Instagram is Everything Is We. Our podcast is Everything Is We on all streaming platforms. And then on YouTube, Everything Is We as well. Subscribe. We upload the video podcast there. Everything Is We.
You started talking real fast.
How did you come up with that name?
We said it like, because we do these. We also on my.
I said it because when we first got married.
No. Everything Is We, Cam. So you can't have
the eyes. I said it. Let's be clear.
Thank you, Cam.
I said it because she has this like very like Texas way of saying stuff. And I'd be like, no, you got to fix the way you said that. It's ours or it's us. Like, this is we. Everything.
This is mine.
And then she was like, well, everything is we. I was like, yeah, but you ain't saying it like everything is we. So let's be clear.
We said it. I remember we said it in like a video. We do these marriage Q&As every year. Every year that we celebrate an anniversary, we have a marriage Q&A. So people ask us questions about the year and, you know, how we grew and stuff. And one of them was titled Everything Is We, because like we realized like we are a team. Like, everything we do is about us.
Yeah.
Like, it's just us. Like, everything we do in life. Like, if I make money, we make money.
Yeah.
You got money, we make money. If you got a new car, we got a new car.
Yep.
Like, you know, so everything is we.
I love it. Well, thank you guys so very much for joining us on this very chaotic. I feel like the last few episodes of Love Hour have been like low-key chaotic.
I'm chaotic.
It's fine. It's a podcast.
No problem at all.
No problem.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Please make sure that you follow Cam and Vicky on YouTube, follow their podcast, and on Instagram is the word I was looking for.
Instagram.
On Instagram to get the fashions. What's happening? I'm about to turn this over because you're distracted.
TikTok star dog.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Until the next time.
Bye.
Thank you guys for having us. Thank you so much.
God bless y'all, man. Y'all are the best. I